Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. The Reverend Dr. Scott Murray is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. In going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear Nathan, friends in Christ, God would be a poor accountant. The board of directors would fire him. He seeks the one lost sheep and leaves behind the 99. This is very poor business practice. He pays the loutish people who work only 1 hour in the vineyard, and he pays them the same as those who worked all day. You're fired, God. You see, he gives so generously of all he is and has. We find God's generosity shocking and even unaccountable. He gives away the whole heavenly treasury to those who do not deserve it. Nathan, maybe you can convince the board of directors to give away the treasury of Synod to those who don't deserve it. Look, I'm preaching here. And speaking of those who don't deserve it, after he accepted the position of CFO of Synod, I suggested to him that perhaps he could find a way of improving the salary scale of the vice presidents of Synod. Alas, he just flashed me his wry smile and said, "Don't even think about it." I'm convinced that Nathan is a better accountant than God. And I know that sounds strange, but he's a steward, a manager of that which belongs to others. In God's heavenly business, we get to give away all the treasures that God gives us. In God's earthly business, we need to manage what he gives us with prudence for the sake of the hands of the generous people who give for God's sake. Here we see the difference between the two kingdoms and perhaps a little bit about where those two kingdoms meet each other and kiss. When he was praying about and considering whether or not he would become the CFO of Synod, he said to me that he actually loves managing money. The company he used to work for managed pumps. And he said to me, I'm much more passionate about the work of the church and the spreading of the gospel than I am about, well, pumps. In both cases, good government, good management is called for. For being a steward of the church's gifts is really a function of the kingdom of the left. But we use this good management so that the overwhelming gifts of God, the ultimate treasury of heaven, the very righteousness of Jesus Christ, can be proclaimed out into the world. So it is that the CFO of Synod, in my thinking, needs to be as wise as a serpent and as innocent as a dove. Wise for the sake of the things of the world, dollars and cents, but innocent for the sake of the things of God. And what joy it is to see those things being taken care of, Nathan. Don't lose the perspective of that goal, of the prodigal generosity of the gospel-giving God. There's lots of ways to see it in this building, if you'll look. Just think about our international missionaries and how important their work is in building up our partners in foreign fields. Those missionaries brave disease, bad food, dangerous weather, separation from family, and geopolitical upheavals to share the generosity of God with people hungering after the righteousness of God. That alone makes the position worthwhile. God's generosity sometimes causes us to complain, as the laborers in the parable. These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. And if we are to go before God with such a complaint, will he not respond, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so who are we to straighten God out? Who are we to delve into the mind of God so that we could show him that what he's doing is, well, not quite right? And what if he makes the last first and the first last? Can he not be wildly generous with what belongs to him? God gives us the basic rationale for his ways, and it can be summed up in one word from this text: generosity. Who are we to complain against his generosity? The picture that Jesus is drawing in the parable, of course, is the kingdom of heaven. What will the workers in the kingdom be like? Well, there will be some who come early on into the kingdom, and they'll work their whole lives, the whole 12 hours. Like many sitting here. But what is our reward? What is our recompense? How are we to be paid? We are paid purely and solely based on the Master's, our God's, generosity. What if we were paid by God in accordance with what we were owed? Which of us would be worth even the day's wage I suspect, I know, that none of us would be. The psalmist says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? I pray fervently that God does not enter into judgment against me on the basis of my own value and worth. For if he should do so, all I could do is stand before him and say, Dear God, I am an unfaithful servant. It really is amazing that the workers in the vineyard say to God, You owe me. For if the master really deals with us on the basis of our deserts, what we really owe, or what we're really owed, is eternal damnation. For that is what we have earned. But God doesn't work that way, does he? Of course not. God works purely on the basis of generosity. He pays us all the same, whether we're adult converts or have been baptized as infants and worked hard in the church our whole lives. It's all by generosity. And another word for generosity is just simply grace. The arrangement for paying the people of God is already worked out by God. It's already worked out in Christ, who pays a full day's wage to us all, because he's already borne the heat of the day for each one of us. He's already hefted the sins of the world upon his shoulders and carried them away, nailing them to the cross of Calvary for us. He's already earned a sufficient wage for us all. And when it is time for us to stand before the judgment seat of God, as we all shall, God will pay us each the perfect and most generous gift of eternal life. Have some of us worked harder than others in the kingdom? Sure. I know lots of people like that. Does it matter? No. Because no matter how hard we've worked, what God gives us, he gives as a gift. Notice the 11th hour workers, who in no way can be said to have earned their day's wage, get all of it. So those who are weak in faith, who struggle, who bear trials, who perhaps haven't been Christians their whole lives, such people needn't fear that on the day of reckoning there will be anything less than the full gift of eternal life earned by Christ. And again, you see, this all depends on God, not on you. Our problem is that we all too often ask in our weakness and legalistic hearts, how much of this depends on me, God? And that question always turns us to pride, and we're like the ones who are paid last. Hey, God, wait just a minute. If you're giving eternal life to those who've believed only but an hour, then shouldn't I get something better? Shouldn't there be accolades and praise for me? Shouldn't there be glory in a brass band? Shouldn't there be parades and medals? At least I should get a participation trophy. God simply answers, What more do you want than eternal life and perfect fellowship with me in heaven? What more do you want than rest that cannot be imagined or compared to anything on this side of the grave? God has given all, and we get the full rate every time. So it is that we receive with the mouth of our body, the very body and blood of Christ, because it depends on God's generosity. It doesn't depend on my faith, my work, my effort, my labor, my anything. It's just that wonderful. And so is God wrong to be so generous? Should we complain at God for his incredible mercy? Heaven forbid that we should complain at God for his mercy. For we may find ourselves with those who have worked only from the 11th hour. And that's just fine. Because God pays the full price for all. How difficult it is to believe that Jesus has paid the full price and earned a full day's wage for each one. And yet, that is what we do believe. It is what we do teach, and it is what we certainly confess. For to be God is to be generous. Generous beyond every imagination. Nathan? God has given you gifts, generous gifts. I see a few of them sitting over there. Give as good as you've got. And that'll be enough. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.